Blog Talk Radio.
It's 6:30 on a Sunday, and we are live. This is your weekly AA meeting with Arlo and Adam.
That's right, everybody. It is 6:30 on a Sunday, and you are live. This is the AA meeting with Arlo and Adam. I'm Adam. What is up, Arlo?
What's up, brother? How's it going tonight?
Man, we made it to the wire just barely.
Barely. We're still trying to get the show out on social media.
Oh, man. So I've had a pretty crazy week, and especially last night. So as I've mentioned, I do bouncy houses.
Yep.
And I was running bouncers, and I was all booked up yesterday, and so much that I had to get some help. So I had my niece help me.
Shoot that link to me so I can start broadcasting.
All right. So we are running these bouncers. We got through the whole day and without issue. And so when I get to pick up the final bouncer, which is at a football game for a semi-pro football team here in northeastern Oklahoma.
Okay.
I don't know what I was thinking. And I was just kind of, you know, Arlo, do you ever say something that's like so stupid?
All the time.
That one, it's not something you ever say. Two, it's not even clever. And you're trying to be clever.
Okay, never mind. I'm always clever.
I'm never clever. And well, anyway, I'm packing this thing up. We're just finished. We are heading to the trailer, ready to put it off, and some people walk up behind me, and they are they're really friendly, and okay. I've got to wait for some people to get out of my way, and
uh-huh. They're
all, oh, man, they're working you too hard. I was like, I know, and the bad part is, you know, I'm my own boss, and the person that was with him, they're all, well, that's not a bad thing. I was like, yeah, but he's a slave driver. And then I turn around and realize that I just made a slave joke to a black couple. And my eyeballs, the size of ping pong balls, head
okay,
down.
Okay, hang on. Okay, hang on.
Maybe I'm being
did they laugh?
They kind of chuckled, but they didn't talk anymore.
Okay. Were they older or younger?
They were middle-aged, or they were our age.
Okay, so they've been around a lot of the – because in my opinion, the super hardcore was from that 70s through the 90s era.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Okay. So they've been around some seriousness there. But.
And
so,
I
mean, you didn't mean it. I mean,
right.
Plays are, you know,
sure.
Plays are anywhere, man. I mean,
yeah.
I'm not trying to be touchy, you know, and not be sensitive to people's feelings at the same time. But at the same time, you didn't mean it
yeah.
any derogatory or disrespect.
Well, I'm 99.9% sure that had they taken it wrong, they would have stopped turning
more
around.
More than likely.
What would. The F did you just say?
Exactly.
Are you effing kidding me? Whatever. But it's just, it's one of those deals. I saw the potential. I've worked in HR. I was representing my business. I was
Touché.
On the job site. And I just, every bad scenario just ran through my head in that split second. And I just, seriously, I could feel them bulging, protruding from my eye sockets. I'm like, oh my God, did I really just say that? Well, my niece that was with me, or, you know, I just went ahead and hurried up and I threw it back in there and shut up. And we were.
So did you have a kid with you?
Not my kid. No,
okay.
No. We didn't have any kids. Just my niece. But I say niece, but she's 23.
Okay.
So
she's not a child.
No.
Right? I would
no,
think
she's
of my
niece.
Adult.
Okay. Right. And so, yeah, we get
did
in.
Did she tell you were stupid?
Well, she could see that I was, or I get, the second we both get in the truck, I said, oh my God, I can't believe I just said that.
I've been like, I can, but
yeah. Well, that's what she said. And
she, I like her already.
And she's laughing, and she didn't even think about it. I mean, she kind of it. She caught it, but she didn't think it would be a big deal because they didn't say anything. And but I get in, and I'm that whole time. I'm just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I just said that. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I said that. And so we go, we pull on down and turn around, and it turns out, because we had to block a couple of cars in while we were loading up, and theirs was one of the cars that was blocked up, you know, and I hung my head out the window. I was like, you guys have a good night. Thanks, everybody. Oh, you too. So they didn't say anything.
Ruining your own business, man.
Oh, man. Well, and that's what I kept visualizing in my head is, oh, man, I'm going to get back to Tahlequah because this is in Wagner. And...
But that was a different kind of when you the way you used it. I mean,
right.
it wasn't derogatory. It's what everyone says about a boss,
right?
You know what I mean? Everyone well, says that about their boss. So I wouldn't beat myself up too much, or
sure.
or you know, make myself out to be that I said something super derogatory because
yeah.
you didn't. And I understand it was probably super awkward for
yeah.
a second, but you know me, I'm money under pressure.
Yeah. Well, and I've calmed down since.
Yeah.
Since nothing came of it, no one called. I got no call.
Were they the ones renting the bouncer?
No, they weren't.
Oh, okay.
But I believe he was one of the football players.
Ah, okay.
So he would have made a call. The person would have called me.
Touché.
It would have been all over Facebook.
Yeah,
so it's not
nah,
a big deal now.
Now and there.
But let me tell you, for about an hour.
You were sweating bullets thinking, man, should I go apologize? Should I go
I was shitting diamonds, dude. I had the lemon booty. I was all puckered up, man. I was like, oh, God, please, no.
Oh, that's money right there, man.
That's money. So how's your week, man?
Man, it's been busy, tiring, mm-hmm. all the above, man. I'll tell you something cool, man. I've been getting a lot of big response back for the live show we did.
Really?
Yeah, people was like, dude, that was so cool. I was like, I know, I thought of it. No, I wasn't like that. But I was like, cool, you know, I really appreciate people. People appreciate the fact that we were just trying something new. So we'll probably
yeah.
do it again here in a little bit.
Right.
We got anybody out there listening, live, man, feel free to call in. Let's talk about anything in the world.
You bet. That number is 516-666.
Pick up sticks.
9510.
Went and watched the Cops and Firemen and Smoking Guns in Tulsa last night.
Really? How'd that go?
It was entertaining, man. I mean, you know, I wanted to be a cop till my knees were just trash.
Right.
And I was like, well, I don't think I'm going to kick too many doors in with knees that move like old rusted hinges.
Sound like the bendy straws?
Dude, horribly. No, it sounds like celery snapping into my squat. But, so, you know, I always got a little soft spot for cops when I go up there.
Sure.
As a kid, I wanted to be a fireman. I got older, I wanted to be a cop. I don't know. So, yeah, it's all for a good cause. It's all a charity event anyway.
Right.
Me and my brother, we were talking, we were kind of laughing. We said, the cops kind of got the upper hand.
Mm-hmm.
They get paid to battle motherfuckers out on the street.
This is true.
You know, I mean, and then one guy made a point to him. He's a fireman. He goes, I'll tell you what, man. He goes, this is funny. He didn't even hear us say that.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, you know, he goes, man, he goes, every year I sit here and I think he was a fireman up in Tulsa. He goes, every year I sit here and think that the PD have the upper hand because they're paid to fight people.
Yeah.
You know, when things go down, they get down.
Right.
And I was like, that's true. He said, so we need to even up the playing field here. He said, we need to like set the ring on the cage on fire around it. And he said, I guarantee you none of us would freak out.
And how many times have you ever seen a cop happen to pick up I don't want to say dead weight, but you know what I'm saying.
I know. Pick up someone who's
unconscious
off
body.
The ground and run them out. Yeah, I mean.
And that's every day, essentially.
I'll tell you what, though. And it's not just Tulsa versus Tulsa. It's
uh-huh.
all over Oklahoma. I don't even know. They may be pulling in people from other states now. I don't know. But I'll tell you what, they had some salty firemen in there. I mean, them dudes were. You know,
swole.
Legit and ready to throw, you know. I was like, oh, this is entertaining. My buddy I talked to up there
mm-hmm.
told me, he goes, you need to go be a reserve, go reserve at the PD or go be a volunteer
mm-hmm.
firefighter, and he was going in it next year. I said, I don't know, man. I'm beat up.
Well, that's the other thing to think about. most police officers, and I don't say this as a insult, but they're in a squad car a majority of their day.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the firefighters, they have a lot of downtime, and so if they've got a gym in the firehouse, I'm sure there's some groups that are just in there just lifting all day and training
That's
and
true.
All this stuff. So
probably getting ready for like this event.
Yeah.
And you know what's crazy is I talked to a couple of people who've done it.
Uh-huh.
I talked to a couple of people who are really big into it, and they said, you know, they said it's hard to find. They're finding it harder and harder almost every year
right.
to get people to do the fight.
I can see that.
And you know, I mean, it's for charity.
Mm-hmm.
I would do it without being a cop or a fireman.
Right.
If they just let me go in there, just to do it and represent one side.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'd do it just for that, man. Just, it's fun. I mean, it's still fun to get in there and get punched in the face.
You and I have totally different opinions.
Well, you know, I did that for years, man.
Yeah.
It's one of those things.
I know what you're saying, though.
You ever watch Rocky?
Yeah.
I think it was Rocky 2 when his eye was messed up and he was trying to come back to fight Apollo.
Yeah.
And he tells Adrian, he goes, look, I've never asked you to quit being a woman.
Mm-hmm.
You don't ask a dog to quit being a dog.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
did he sound like that when he said,
yeah, he was a little more punchy sounding, you know, but he made a lot of sense, man. If
dog, you can't be a dog.
I mean, you know, I mean, no one ever said, Adam, don't be a bouncer.
Yeah, that's
house
true.
Operator.
I don't think anybody said that to anybody ever.
I mean, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
It's hard,
I'm smelling
man.
What you're stepping in, man. I'm reading your mouth.
It's hard, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to let that side go, man.
Well, and you can always tell when somebody's found what they're born to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of those firefighters and police, they have the passion.
Yep.
that's what they wanted to do their whole lives. Not like most people were compromise after compromise after compromise. And then that led into what they're doing today.
Mm-hmm.
And they're happy doing it,
exactly.
But it's not the glorious thing that every 12-year-old wants to, oh, I want to be a network administrator.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
I want to be an administrative assistant. You know,
nobody grows up wanting to be an assistant.
No.
And you know, and that's a little bit, that's what's wrong with society. Hang on.
Sure.
Oh, man, the stuff in the air is killing me today. That's what else is wrong with the world. I always tell like a lot of people when I used to work at county,
mm-hmm.
See, if I was still working at county, I could have went into the fight.
Yeah.
You'd be a dispatcher and enter this fight.
That's awesome.
I know.
Just that line on your paycheck.
Yeah, exactly.
You want it. Yeah.
Exactly. All they needed to see is that you're in some kind of either law enforcement or with the fire department.
Right.
But what I used to tell my buddy was, or what I used to tell people when I worked at county, like I tell the young kids, you know what we were just talking about? He said, nobody grows up wanting to be an administrative assistant. I used to tell those people, I said, the problem with the world is, I said, is people want the job after this job.
Right.
And that's where people fall. That's where people make themselves fall short because they don't look at that entry level. They want the next job after that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like you started your way up from, you know, started from the bottom and now you're here.
Right. Yeah.
Doing bouncers. He's got another job. He's pretty important.
See, you're not the only one at the table that's a professional bouncer.
This is true. I definitely, you got to give me something.
Let me tell you, you give me lemons, I'll make you one hell of a margarita.
He said you ain't the only one. That's a professor. I love it. I love it, man.
That's right.
But, you know,
I bring the house down every time.
It's in my head to try it next year.
Yeah.
You know, if I could go at a, because I could go be a reserve officer down here and
sure.
work a couple hours a week down here. Mm-hmm. And, well, like I said, man, I'd see if they just let me enter just to volunteer and represent one side, you know.
Yeah.
Represent either side, I don't care. I mean, it'd be fun. What's crazy, this thing's getting big. Like, when it first started, it started out at the fairgrounds.
Right.
Went from the fairgrounds and then went up to, like, some other little bit bigger venue.
Uh-huh.
Then it went to the, what's the other one downtown? Not the Canes or any of those, but it's the convention center.
Yeah.
Tulsa Convention Center. And we moved up to the convention center, and then right after that, it went to BOK. And that's where they're at the last 2 years.
That's awesome. I've always heard it. Do they do it big? Like, do they get like fire? Not, I don't want to say pyros, but like.
No, they get a good walkout. They get music. Awesome. They got a camera in their face. I mean, they get a good feel for it.
Come out WWE. No Undertaker music.
No. Adam goes, I think it's like in 5 seconds, but his intro was dope.
He looked coming at.
He looked dope coming out. He looked dope coming out, but by God, he couldn't fight a lick.
I don't care how many times you come out to that.
Yeah. Oh, Lord, man. That's too much.
That's awesome.
Also, we've seen Guardians of the Galaxy today.
All right. Well, you were telling me this as we were getting ready for the show. Now,
I'm not going to spoil it. No spoiler alert. This is not a spoiler alert show.
Was it as good as the first?
I will go out on a limb,
uh-huh,
and I will say, y'all can quote me on this, write it down, take a picture, record the show, whatever. I think it was better than the first one.
Really?
Yes.
I'm excited to hear that.
It was that good.
Well, and the thing I really liked, and I'm a huge comic book nerd.
Mm-hmm.
I confess I haven't read a lot of the Guardians of the Galaxy comics, but it all ties in, which is something the Marvel Universe does amazingly, like no other company has ever done anything whenever they have multiple properties,
mm-hmm,
making movies. But the soundtrack.
Oh, and, dude, Guardians, oh my God.
And there's, you know, most people, I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, Dazed and Confused is a good movie, but the soundtrack was
amazing.
Phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Remember the Titans?
Great soundtrack.
Great movie, amazing soundtrack, and the list goes on. Can't hardly wait. That was an okay movie. It's funny, but
yeah,
it was
awesome.
Great soundtrack.
Yeah, well, it's because it went with our high school years. I think that's why I really went.
Yeah, I noticed all the movies were in the 90s, but
not Guardians though.
Right.
And I'll tell you what, the soundtrack for Volume 2, Guardians Volume 2, here,
uh-huh,
equally as good.
That's awesome.
Equally as good.
I'm so excited. I want to go.
I was disappointed they didn't play "Come and Get Your Love" by Redbone.
Oh, no.
I will throw that spoiler out there.
Wasn't that in the
That was the first one, right when he's walking out of the spaceship on the first one. Speaking of Redbone, a lot of people don't know this.
Uh-huh.
Do you know Redbone is an all Native American group?
I have not. I can see it now.
Yeah. But no, they're all skins. The only song they ever made. Can we get the only song that got big. But they're all Native American.
That is awesome.
Yeah. All Native American. I wish we had the YouTube part that we could pull up. We pull up the video. I'd show you.
The one time that I don't have it ready.
That we need it. It's all right, man. We'll do it next week. We'll bring it up. We're going to remind y'all and bring it up.
Yeah.
Just because it gets me excited. Telling you that song. I love that song. Because if you were Indian, you knew that song before Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right.
And that was like a big song for us skins because it's all Indian group. The only song they made.
Just don't make any Trail of Tears jokes.
What all my kinfolk and everybody else say is that's that old Indian snagging song right there.
Oh my gosh. Let me tell you, if you've ever heard, if you've ever been with an Indian, you know what snag means. And
you're married to it.
Yeah, I'm married into it. Now, see, I'm like just under a quarter Cherokee. No, I don't think my grandmother was a Cherokee princess, but I married in and my wife is full, mm-hmm, blood. She's half and half. She's half Cherokee and then half a tribe from Nebraska.
Oh wow.
And
I did not know that.
Yeah. And she moved here when she was very, very young, and they grew up out in the she's of the Stokes groups of Cherokees. And
okay.
Anyone who's familiar with northeastern Oklahoma, every community, and it's never a major city, it's like some rural committee, mm-hmm, there's a group of Cherokees, and they're kind of different.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of like New Orleans people are, mm-hmm, to Georgia people, to Oklahoma people. They all have their kind of own sayings, but snag is universal. And it cracked me up. The first time she said me, I was like, what the hell is a snag?
I tell you what, man. Speaking of Indians, I need to give a shout out.
Okay.
My buddy Preston Othley.
Yeah.
Texted me last week and was telling me about how awesome the show was and how he enjoys the show.
I just saw him the other day. I don't think he put two and two together.
Probably not.
But yeah, he was on duty too, though.
And I talked to him last night at the Cops and Firemen event, and he was telling me that again. He's like, dude, he's like, your show's freaking hilarious, dude. He's like, I love listening to it. And I was like, dude, that's so awesome. So I just want to give Preston a shout out, you know, if you're someone you're listening again. I don't know if he's listening to it live or if he just listens to it, you know, through his, you know, whenever he has downtime. But either way, I mean, he's listening. That's what's up, man. That's
awesome. Thanks, Preston. We appreciate it. And thanks for everything you do for the community.
Exactly. Exactly. 100%. But yeah, man, I mean, sure. So then, how was your weekend?
You know, I was really busy. I had this was a huge weekend for me on the bouncy houses. So I've been running like a madman, and we've been a bit of a pyro this weekend, burning leaves and shit.
That's
in the backyard.
Didn't see no mountain lions or whatever it was.
No.
was it a mountain lion or was it a bobcat? Bobcat.
It was a bobcat. Yeah, yeah. I'm getting a little too old to be hunted by cougars. So
we talk about cougars now. They got to be like 60. I don't even know what you call that.
I got nothing. That's very, very rare.
You know you get. You know you get low when that happens.
Damn right. As I was telling you earlier in the week, we did our live show.
Mm-hmm.
And most people who follow our show or anyone that's on my friends, they know that, you know, we are the AA meeting, and that's because both of our first names starts with A, and this is our attempt to be clever. And I still love it, and we're going to stick with it. Nothing's going to change. But we are – this is just, you know, and – some I've been accused of being an alcoholic before, but I like to drink, but I've got it under control. But I had a really good friend get on Facebook, and he messaged me, and you know, I could tell in his message that he was kind of, I don't want to say embarrassed, but he really didn't want to be put on blast. So I'm not going to name names, get in specifics, but he had just saw the name and he just made the assumptions, which is a very honest mistake, you know, AA, I mean, they must talk addiction and things of that nature. But he sent me a very, I don't want to say desperate, but heartfelt, he was hurting. And what was going on is his wife had, over the last, I'd say half a year, had a series of injuries, a surgery or two, and they've been prescribing OxyContin, which is an opioid, which is based out of opium, which the stuff they've been giving her is just a few milligrams shy of pure heroin. I mean, for anyone who knows what OxyContin is, it's the same basis as heroin. Well, she's becoming addicted, and it's snowballed, and her consumption has came up, and it's costing them everything. Because if she doesn't take the amount that her body feels like it needs, she starts to go through the withdrawals. It's cost her job, not just indirectly, because anyone who knows anyone else who has addiction, there's a whole chain of events that always goes along with it. And that's when the lying starts, the flakiness shows, you know, you can't count on them for anything. And sometimes it gets down to theft and pawning to feed the demon on their back. And well, he messaged me. He's like, hey, well, I know you guys have an AA meeting show. I haven't listened to it before, but can you help me? This is what's going on. I don't know what to do. And they're both very, I don't know. If you know very many traditional Indians, and I say traditional because there's some that, hey, you know, we're Indian, and then there's some that goes with the culture and the what it means to be Indian, which is usually, you know, being stoic, keeping to yourself. You don't air your dirty laundry. You don't go on Facebook and say, oh my gosh, I'm having this problems. You handle it. You suck it up and you deal with it. Well, they weren't sure on how to get her help. And so this woman, props to her. Now, I've never personally seen somebody coming out of heroin addiction and through the withdrawals, but I've heard of it. I've you've seen it on TV. This woman is going cold turkey herself without any assistance. She said, I'm done. And she went and locked herself in the bedroom, or I don't want to say locked because he checks on her, but, and she's just willing herself through it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I posted something on Facebook so that he would see it. And then because I have friends of dozens of different walks of life, and
mm-hmm.
I believe we got him some help. He found some people. He's struggling because it's cost them their home. And so they no longer have their home, which if you don't have a home, you can't get assistance from any government thing because they have to have an address.
Yep.
And that's about as specific as I'm going to get. But it's just my heart really broke.
You said they're native?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, you know, there's Jack Brown.
Well, that was one of their options.
Yeah, through and Cherokee Nation.
Behavioral health. Behavior health. And then the Cree Oaks. I've never heard of Cree Oaks.
Cree Oaks has clinics. I think there's one here. I think
mm-hmm.
there's one in Holbert.
Right.
Only reason I know the Creos from Morgan County.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, man. And you know, definitely watch out with the, if you're actually addicted to heroin, I want to say it's the two things that can kill you
mm-hmm.
from withdrawals. If you just stop, is heroin and alcoholism.
Yeah.
And alcohol is the two things that can kill you.
Yeah, somebody had messaged me and they said that they can go into shock,
yep.
and when they go into shock, their body just...
Working at county, we had a lady who was a heroin addict. We brought her in and we didn't know she was a heroin addict.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. She didn't say what she would take. She just, you know, she wasn't proud, so we can't twist their arms to
right.
make them. You know, they just do the tail, so they don't. A few hours in, woman goes into cold sweats, can't even touch her skin. Because it hurts so bad, can't even touch her. She's just laying there screaming. We had to call an ambulance for her and take her and get her.
I mean, it's literally like exercising a demon.
It is.
And
it really is, man.
You know, I've heard of addiction compared to a demon or demons. I've heard it compared to disease. You know, we as humans, we identify with anything that we can to help us describe what we're going through. And anyone who doesn't suffer from addiction never truly understand.
You know, that makes me think about, sorry, I mean to cut you off.
No, go for it.
But I seen this post. Someone posted a meme the other day. And it was a little distasteful.
Yeah.
I don't remember who posted it. But it said, if you don't have a disease, you're making an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have a disease when you decided to start drinking.
Right.
No, but just like you didn't decide to have AIDS when you were having sex.
Right.
Same concept.
Or even have a baby.
Yeah. It's the same concept, you know,
because
right. they were like, you don't have a disease. You don't have a disease. And it's just
mm-hmm.
this big rant of a meme that said, you don't have a disease. You're just making an excuse up because no one made you stick that needle in your arm. No one made you force that bottle
right.
to drink that bottle. But like I said, I mean, no one forces someone to. No one forced someone to have sex and catch AIDS. No one forced
right.
someone to no one forced someone to have cancer.
Right.
You know, sometimes you try something and
That's
things
what
happen.
I don't think a lot of people understand is addiction is not just some genetic tendency that you have. It's something that just like somebody who hasn't been eating right for a long time, they might try something and that's good for them and don't taste good, but they may try something else and their body starts understanding, oh, this has these things that we like in it. And then they will start craving this thing. Addiction can be anything. It can be heroin, speed, meth, alcohol, sex, video
cigarettes.
Games, cigarettes, or it can even be things that can essentially be
food.
Good for you.
Food, people too.
Yeah. Food is an addiction. The taste from the food,
Well, what's the two biggest legal addictions in America is cigarettes and caffeine.
Right. Yeah. And here I'm sitting here with my energy drink.
Mine has to be caffeine free. Thank you.
And let me tell you.
I'm sure there's something in it because it's giving me a boost. There's got to be something else.
And I wouldn't dare compare it to what those people who's really struggling from the hard drugs and stuff are. But when I have an inner ear disorder, and when I first was diagnosed from it, they told me I had to go cold turkey. I had to get off caffeine ASAP.
Mm-hmm.
Well, whenever I got off caffeine and I started experiencing those withdrawals. Now, I thought I'd had depression before, you know, because, you know, I was really sad.
I remember.
I have never experienced depression before. That I got my true taste of it because I mean, I've never had suicidal thoughts in my head in my life. I mean, everybody's been there. You're like, oh, God, this just be so much easier, you know, and made jokes about it. But never just, I felt totally worthless. And then I was so tired, the headaches kicked in. And this was just caffeine. I can't imagine what some of the harder stuff like meth, heroin, and all these other things. And these things, they reprogram your body.
They do.
They attack the dopamine in your brain, which is where you get pleasure from. So you know what you're doing is bad for you and it's going to kill you, but your body is telling you that it's good for it and it's going to hurt until it gets it. But
that's a sad part about addiction. That's just the saddest part about addiction. And we've all watched it ruin lives. We've all watched it ruin families. And it just doesn't ruin one person's life. It ruins the person that's on it. It's ruining the people that love them around them.
Right.
And it's, in all honesty, I mean, it is something that they don't change unless they truly want to.
Right. And the sad part is your family is just as big of a thing as – it's not just one person that gets the addiction. Mm-hmm. Your family does too.
Like, I what's bad, you know, and I tend to think back – not bad, but it's what's sad a little bit. I tend to think back. Mm-hmm. I remember when you were down about it.
Yeah.
I mean, you used to have a few little messenger conversations just saying, hey, buddy, keep your head up.
Yeah.
And and that's why I chose Adam. People don't even know why I chose Adam. I chose Adam because me and Adam's known each other since we were, God, what, like
16?
Probably nothing. Younger than that, because probably since about middle school, junior high.
Yeah.
Junior high, since probably about junior high.
You always stick out like a sore thumb, so. And I mean that in a good way.
Like,
you're just...
Wait a minute, sore, sticking out like anything sore is not. It's never a positive.
All right. You get a crowd, and you can always spot Arlo because there's always a group of people laughing, and there's just usually you radiate a positive energy.
Well, thank you.
And this is one thing that I've always told you over years.
And I used to never listen to him. I was like, man, whatever. He's just being super cool because I was a dick all the time. And I was like, and that's why I picked Adam, man. And then I was like, Adam's a super cool dude, and I seen him going through some hard times. That wasn't it. He was back over them hard times by the time I asked him that.
Right.
But I was like, Adam's always really believed him, and I was like, shoot, I'm going to pull him on this show, and Adam likes to hear himself talk. And
darn right.
But I remember that, though. I remember having – and that's another thing, I mean, what I was getting at before I started rambling was I never realized how far back me and you actually went.
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
How cool. And I was like, dang, man. Talk to him about this. I'll talk to him. Yeah. I'll do pull him on a show, man. He's always been an intelligent guy to talk to.
Right.
Because my intellect only goes so high.
Like, mine too.
Mine only. Well, yours still excels a little bit, but like, well, y'all get to watch the YouTube video. Mine goes like to here. His goes right about here. Because once I hit right here, I say screw it, and I'm gonna run through it. I'm gonna hit it like a freight train.
You bet.
But and that's a sad thing. And like you said, there's did they say they're going to go to any of those clinics?
I haven't heard from them since. I know they've been struggling because
did you give them any kind of any info on it? Any link?
Yeah.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. Drop one of those. Drop the Jack Brown or one of them if you want to out here.
Yeah.
If anybody. Battling with addiction right now, man, we can help y'all get help that on too, man. Shoot us a message. And that's what people don't get about the AA meeting. While you're looking that up, I'll just, you know, babble on. Yeah, that's what they don't get about the AA meeting. Like I said, when we started the, last time when I started sitting ringside, I really limited it to just fighting, not an educated discussion other than fighting. Like I said, AA meeting, man, we're raw. We talk about life. We talk about love. Now we can talk about something deeper like addiction because someone's hit us about it, you know. And we might as well talk about everything we can.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the other thing is, we have a recurring theme here in the AA meeting, and it's positivity.
Exactly.
And it's motivation. And no one needs that more than people struggling with addiction.
Exactly. And, you know, I put a lot of positive stuff on my Facebook. And
mm-hmm.
I got my own Facebook page for my what I'm basing my gym off of that I'm going to open soon.
Right.
It's called Team Too Strong.
Mm-hmm.
All one word, I think. Let me take a look at my list. It's Team Too Strong. No, it's three words. You can look us up at We Are Team Too Strong. But like I said, just type in Team Too Strong. You'll see Adam's cool little hashtag with Team Too Strong and the red, white, and blue on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's us. And that's all it's about, man. I'm trying to get positivity into the world, you know, because I mean, don't get me wrong. People are like, oh, you're so positive. Because there's days I'm not.
Right.
And so these are things that run in my head or I've read over the 35 years I've been alive.
Right.
And I'm just saying it
mm-hmm.
to myself, trying to get myself going that morning,
mm-hmm.
trying to get myself moving. And so I figured, you know, you never know who else needs to hear it.
Right.
You never know who else needs to hear it.
Well, and anytime you have addiction, the first step is always to acknowledge that you have a problem. And a lot of people, they have a lot of pride and
mm-hmm.
self-esteem, and they feel
they can quit whenever
ashamed, which also feeds into the addiction is the shame. So now they're not only chasing out the high, but they're also running from reality. And so they don't want to call anyone because they're embarrassed or they're afraid that their image, it's going to get out and be made public.
Yeah, tarnish their image.
And confidentiality is a huge part of all of these places.
Yeah.
There's a Jack Brown Center, which is based, I think it's primarily for the youth. It looks intended to serve clients from 13 to 18. So if you've got young people who's ran out with the wrong crowd or just sampled the wrong thing and it's become a problem, they have a phone number. It is 877-448-0496. You can email them at jack-brown-center@cherokee.org. Now, this is for tribal members. There's also behavioral health. This is also for Cherokee Nation tribal members. That phone number is 918-458-6285. And then there's also the Cree Oaks. Now, I don't know a whole lot about Cree Oaks. They've got a website that is spelled CREOKS.org. Their phone number is 405-372-7791. If you are struggling with addiction, even if you think you're not sure that you're an addict, get help. Call. Get evaluated. Get this. I mean, you have to take the first step. It's all about kinetic energy. Once you get that ball moving,
yep.
It is so much harder. That's the hardest thing. Is
yep.
first getting it moving. Once you get that moving, it's just a little bit more of a push and maintaining it. And you got to take it day by day.
Yep.
You are not going to kick this thing overnight.
Overnight.
We talked about it in one podcast before. We have a mutual friend, and I'm praying that she's listening. I don't want to call her out,
mm-hmm.
But I would love for her to call in. Once again, if you are struggling with addiction or know somebody has or addiction has called your life, or has impacted your life, please call 516-666-9510. That's our call-in line. We'd love to hear some stories, or especially if you've got a success story. How did you get through it? Please. But, yeah, we've got our friend, and she literally takes it day by day. Almost every 10 to 15, 30 days, she posts on Facebook, you know, I'm free and I'm clean. And for her, her motivation was religion. She found God.
Yep.
It doesn't always have to be religion.
Mm-hmm.
I know. I mean, even if you're atheist or you're a different kind,
whatever you are,
if it's religion, if it's your parents, if it's your family, your kids, your dog, it doesn't matter. You just find that thing that you want to live for
and live for it.
Right. And even if it's that someone who said you can't do it, because I know a lot of people that you want to piss them off and get them to do something. You tell them they can't do it.
Well, and you know what irritates me about people that say they can't.
Right.
And this goes whether it's for addiction, whether it's just something in life.
Mm-hmm.
And what irritates me most about that, man, is just because it's impossible for you don't mean it's impossible for me.
Right.
That's straight up. Sorry, someone told you can't and you listened.
Mm-hmm. I 100% agree. And, I mean, we as human beings, that's our purpose. Now, people want to know what the meaning of life is. Personally, my opinion,
happiness.
It's adaptation and legacy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care what you've done in your life. I don't care what's been done to you in life. We are genetically engineered by evolution, by God, whatever you believe, to adapt and overcome.
Yep.
And find and thrive.
That's how we last so long in the world.
Right. Life is not about surviving. It's about thriving.
Yep.
And if something is standing in your way and it's holding you back, sometimes you got to cut that anchor.
Let it go.
And addiction is the hardest anchor to ever get through.
Exactly. And you, that the thing about addiction, what a lot of people also don't realize,
right,
is you're only as successful as the company you keep.
Right.
Because the problem is, and I've had some people who I've tried to, who I've mentored before,
mm-hmm,
like when I was working at county with some of the younger kids, and
sure,
they were telling me about, oh, their buddies, this, you know, and I said, are they really your friends or are they just your party friends?
Yeah.
And they were like, well, what do you mean? I said, when's your friend's birthday? When he tells you it is?
Yeah.
What's his favorite color?
Right.
What's his favorite thing to eat?
Yeah.
You know what his favorite drink is. You know what his favorite thing to, you know what his favorite drugs are.
Very true.
But do you know anything else? No, he's just a party friend. He is not going to benefit you anyway.
And that's something that we as a society, we really call everybody friends. I mean, we have acquaintances. We've got,
like
I got a buddy. I usually throw it out, hey, I got a buddy down here. I got a buddy. I know a guy, you know. But
I will say buddy, because buddy to me is not as formal as a friend.
Right. You're on good terms.
Exactly. I'm on good terms. Like, if I see him, I could sit with him at a table and
right,
hang out with him.
Right.
But I probably don't call him and say, hey, man, let's go eat dinner.
Mm-hmm.
I don't say, hey, man, I'm bored. You want to go shoot some pool at the local watering hole?
Yeah.
None of that happens. If I run into him at the local watering hole,
yeah,
we'll hang out. But
sure.
I got people all the time. And that's the thing about this day and age. They're people's lost the distinguishedness of a buddy and a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I consider Adam a friend. Adam called me at 2:00 in the morning. Arlo, dude, I just blew my motor up in my truck.
Right.
I'll come get you. No
mm-hmm
big deal. You know, that's who you consider friends.
Right.
There's a difference. And people don't have that. People have people who are party buddies.
and we all have those people too.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, you want to, I saw a meme on Facebook, somebody, you want to see who your true friends are. Call them when you're broke, you don't want to drink, and you need help.
Yep.
And the ones who are down to help you out or just even be there for you, those are the ones that can live up to the title of a friend. Otherwise, they're just there. And the point we're making here is a real friend's not going to give you those things
No.
that feed your addiction. They're not going to enable you, because enabling somebody is – twice as bad as what that person's going through.
Yep.
Because not only are you preventing them from getting where they need to be, but you are supporting that habit too. So,
bottom line, you know, skip all the BS connections.
Sure.
Only get with people that set fires in your soul, man.
I like that tagline.
You know what
man
I mean?
That's awesome.
Only keep people that set fires in your soul, man, in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's different people that drive you for different reasons. You know what I mean? And keep that kind of people around.
You bet.
Then that, because if they're not, sorry, then they don't
right
have no benefit to you.
And I've got a lot of friends who's dealt with addiction for anything from sex, and you know, people
yep
always call them whores and call them sluts and stuff. You know what? You can be addicted to sex.
You can.
And it Terry Crews recently. If you don't know who Terry Crews is, watch Friday After Next,
mm-hmm,
Parks and Recreation, was it?
Expendables.
The big black guy that's just rippling muscles.
The Longest Yard, Cheeseburger Eddie.
Yes.
That's more. I remember as Cheeseburger Eddie.
You a McAsshole. And the Old Spice commercial.
Yeah. What is muscle? Huh?
Yeah,
get out of here, dude. No one else can do that in the world.
Oh my gosh. White girls when he's lip singing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he just came out that he had a sex addiction.
Really?
And he recorded that. He went on Facebook Live in his car and said, I've been struggling. I'd spend 8 to 12 hours a day watching pornography. And he's married, and he got help and all of this stuff. And I'm like, no, well, that explains where half the arm muscles came from. And
man,
not to make
– yeah, pour it on his arm. Crack a joke. We done. I'm out.
That was worse than my
– You know, in his slight
yeah
defense, at least – A, he admitted it.
Yeah.
And B, at least he just said it was a porno addiction.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's got to be the hardest thing to come out. Even, I mean, people wouldn't have been surprised. You know, I'm addicted to steroids.
Yep.
I'm addicted to meth. I'm addicted to this.
But when it's something like that, people mm-hmm. tend to think it's more of a joke.
Right.
And they make arm jokes.
Yeah, I'm that guy, apparently.
I'm
addicted to making insensitive jokes.
Yeah, you're addicted to being an asshole. That's what you are.
I'm an asshole.
No, on the real, though. I mean, I know what you're saying, though, man. I mean, that's a good tension breaker for you. You know?
Yeah.
But, and that's real, though, man, to come out and be able to say that.
Well, and, you know, and the funny thing is I have more respect for somebody who's had addiction or in any of its countless forms and came back. You know, you get these things. Don't let it destroy your life.
Yep.
Again, to what I was saying, you can either be molded, forged by adversity, or you can be consumed by it.
Yep.
And if you allow yourself to be consumed, making excuses is the easiest thing in the world. I can't do this because I've got this. I can't do this because, you know, I can't go through these addiction or these withdrawals or whatever. But, you know, I want to talk to somebody who has beat the demons.
Yep. And you know, we can bring this into next week.
Sure.
You know, if anybody's listening and don't want to talk or listen to it later, call in next week and we'll discuss addiction, and they would probably know 100 times more where to get help and how to help reach out to people. I mean, I like talking about things to help people, man. You know, that's what I'm about right now. I'm all about helping everybody right now.
Yeah, and we try to be funny when we can, and we're being funny talking about somebody's struggles in life. But, you know, this is kind of something. I mean, we're going to have a show title of the AA. I mean, we've got to talk about it at least once. But, you know, look at the role models of it. Look at Robert Downey Jr.
Touché.
He had the whole world in front of him. He had successful movies, and then I can't remember what his addiction was. Some drug.
It was some drug.
Alcohol and drugs. Mm-hmm. And now he's fucking Iron Man.
He's Iron Man. Come on, that's a superstar.
40 million per show start out. I mean, that's where they start. And
I don't even know what to do with 40 million.
Right? And, I mean, the list of pro athletes. Brett Favre is one. When I told you what I wanted to talk about this week, you had mentioned Brett Favre.
I mentioned Brett Favre. Brett Favre had a pain pill addiction.
And I'm drawing a blank, but I'm going to share it on Facebook here just shortly. There was 20 pro athletes that lost everything and came back.
Oh wow!
And
some of them probably we didn't even know and didn't realize.
Right.
You know.
And seriously, people, I mean, don't let your demons consume you.
Mm-hmm.
Beat them. And then you can come back and then you can inspire others.
Yep.
And
that's what life's about.
Right. I mean, legacy. I mean, you've got to show your kids, man, I had this. This is why I tell you so hard to stay away from these people.
What do you leave behind? I always tell people what good is going through all these trials and tribulations. As I say, as a man, most times I'm talking to young men.
Right.
What good is it going through all these trials and tribulations as an individual if you can't share them?
Right.
If you can't tell someone, don't go down this path, don't go down that road, don't go down this because it's dark and it's lonely. You end up by yourself. What good is it if you can't go through it yourself to share to someone and keep hopefully prevent them from doing the same mistake you did?
You're a freaking poet, man.
Sometimes. Sometimes I get fired up when I talk about this.
You know, and another addiction that people have is just making excuses.
It is, excuses, man.
Is a huge form of addiction.
I saw this YouTube video of this lady who does personal training. I can't remember what her name was.
Mm-hmm.
And I went and did the study back, and she's true. I forget what part of the brain it is, but it's about exercising. And she said, when your alarm goes off to get up to go work out at 6 a.m, that most people miss it because you have 5 seconds.
Right.
You have 5 seconds to get up out of bed before that part of the brain tells you, let's stay here, and you end up staying.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I forget what part. I have to go in more in depth, but
Anyone who knows me knows I absolutely love hockey. Lemieux, one of the greats of hockey, had Andre Agassi had addictions. Look, man,
George Foreman.
I'm reading through it. He destroyed everything. It looks like he just bad investments, and he surrounded himself with
wrong people.
He was born again Christian, and he was serving as an ordained minister when he returned in 1987. He was 38 years old, badly out of shape. 7 years later, age 45, stunned the world of boxing.
Knocked out Michael Moore. I remember that too, man. I was a kid, but I mean, I remember it. I remember watching the replay. I think I might have watched it live. I can't remember. I can't remember if it was a pay-per-view or not.
Right. I am. I'm sharing this.
Berto said he's addicted to combat sports.
Yeah. Did you ever watch that show? I think it was on MTV. I can't remember what show. My Strange Addiction.
Mm-mm.
I mean, those like someone addicted to eating chalk or eating.
That's messed up.
Right.
I'm sure that's an addiction. I guess because they wouldn't label it that. But I have never wanted to.
There was one guy, he was addicted to cycling. He would ride his bicycle 15 miles a day.
Mm-mm.
And they sent him to the hospital because he can barely walk. And he had cycled so much that he broke down all of the cushion in his hips. And he was bone on bone.
Yeah, his hips replaced.
Yeah, and still cycling 15 miles. He replaced his chair by some of those stationary bikes at his work so he can be upright and cycling while he's working. That motion and the endorphins and all of this stuff, I don't know.
Good night.
One I can relate it to, they had My Strange Addiction was World of Warcraft. they had become so consumed by it. They didn't leave. They died. There was one story, they died. They didn't leave their chair for like days.
And, you know, there's a lot of weightlifters get into that.
Yeah.
Like bodybuilders getting physique people, they're getting to, I think there's a bigger, stronger, faster or something. It was about, and you see now like what people are injecting, like, I don't even know what they inject in themselves now. Some kind of fatty stuff makes their arms look bigger.
Really?
Yeah. And they're doing, it looks, I mean, it's totally fake looking. It looks like something you'd see in a movie, but I mean, addiction's everywhere. But Berto just sent me a message.
And guys, we love the shout outs. We want to hear from you, especially if you're listening live. We've got a Facebook page, facebook.com/AA Meeting Podcast. Twitter is AA Meeting Pod, or you can call in 516-666-9. He's addicted to saying pick up sticks after every time I hear six.
Every time I hear six, I think of the water boy. Remember his mom?
Once again, 516-666-9510. I got it out before you.
I was going to throw it in there anyways, but I held it. Give me withdrawals. Berto just told me that on that show that you just referenced, that in that show they had a person that was addicted to having sex with his car.
Wow. I don't even know where to.
I'm gonna start looking up these addictions, see if they're real or someone just banging his car.
If it's like Pimp My Ride? Everybody watched that show, and then it turned out it was completely 100% staged. Which everybody.
I'm assuming Berto watched that episode because he was talking about it just now.
Was he?
How exactly did he have sex with that? I want to know how he had sex with that car.
Pipe, maybe. I can't think.
I can't. Nope. No,
man.
Not no old.
And I'm terrified of getting my like foot or something caught in the car door. I can't even imagine.
I don't know where, you know, the friction would come from.
Oh, taste the leather.
I know we're not supposed to laugh at these, but that's a messed up one. Thank you, Berto, for ruining my seriousness.
They decide to get kinky and they're going to go bondage. He starts using the seatbelt.
I mean, we're all human beings. We've all had sex in a car, but I've never had sex with a car.
Walk up to like some makeout point.
It's just you and
him in the back seat of the car.
And, you know, I got a sexy car. I got a 72 Charger, you know, I'm building. I don't look at it that way.
I just keep thinking of what is it, the show?
Better give the car a girl name.
Supernatural. Every time he sees his car, he's like, hey, baby.
Yeah.
And that takes it to a whole new level.
Whole new level, man. You just went. You just went over the top, creepy.
Although I have seen some
muffler.
Guys.
Berto just said it's the muffler.
They were way too in love with their Mustangs.
I wonder how low that car had. You have the car. You was
can
a
you
sports
imagine?
Car. Y'all watched the video on Monday because I mean, a sports car is only going to set off the ground this high.
Right. Yeah. We're talking maybe a foot, foot and a half.
I'm trying to figure out you're going
to
position yourself.
He's trying to squat down.
That ain't happening for me, man. I got three knee operations. My car just had to do without.
Just start up the carpool. I love it when they play hard to get.
I wonder if he went around and, you know, I wonder if he was like a fender and went and took other people advantage of other people's cars.
Oh, gosh. And I just thought that on my bumper was bird shit.
It was.
Oh, it's a Monica Lewinsky car. It's blue and everything.
You know, did you ever watch Step Brothers?
Yes.
Everybody watched Step Brothers, but he's like, I teabagged your drum set. He's like, what about my drum set? The guys, that makes you gay. So I wonder if you said your car was like, you know, like you name your car James, you know,
yeah.
Jesse James or stuff, you know, or give it a guy name. That's just wrong.
Does your car have a name?
The Charger?
Yeah.
I call him the regulator.
So it's a guy?
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
He's a dude. He's not a guy. Just a guy. He's
a man. A man's name.
I'll exactly.
Do you play Warren G every time you get in? And
actually, because I'm not a rap person.
Yeah. Well, me neither. But shit. I mean, something's your jam, and it just fits the moment. Hell.
Oh crap. Who sings the Regulator? There's a. You know what I'm talking about.
Warren G.
No, there's a rock song to it.
Oh.
We're about to look it up. Dang it! I heard him over at Rocklahoma.
Oh, now I should know this. All my Rocklahoma friends.
And I was the only person yelling for them to sing the Regulator, and they didn't.
Were you the Freebird guy?
Yeah, I was that guy.
Regulator!
But Berto, what? Clutch.
Clutch
is what I'm thinking.
Oh, they were good, too.
Dude, Clutch's Regulator song is legit. Berto's saying he's dying over here. Hearing about the car stuff. But yeah,
look at the headlights on that
I'm gonna,
I could go all day. I gotta quit.
No, wrong. I don't even know. I need to stop too because I'm gonna go up and get us in trouble making fun stuff. But people be like, we're never listening to them guys again. They
started out so well. They understood, and now they're just making fun of someone who really can't stop sticking his thing. And
I would sit there and I'm gonna tell you.
There was a YouTube. I'm gonna find that YouTube video. Later on, and share that.
There is no. How do I put this? Rehabilitating person who's banging cars, except for a backhand.
I think the only time I've really got like warm and fuzzy, you know, like when I used to climb the rope in gym class, kind of feeling at looking at a car. Tawny Catane was rolling around on it to Sweet Cherry Pie or Cherry Pie by Warrant. I mean, there's usually a female
exactly
somewhere in the frame.
Don't get me wrong. I'll say my car is sexy.
Yeah.
All the time, but I don't say it's sexy like
and mean it.
Like I'm thinking about sleeping with it.
Oh, my God.
That's just like the weird. I've never.
We're going to see like.
Dang, Berto had to bring this topic up. Berto sent this through social media. We've just been talking about it.
That's like the biggest of all squirrels.
Squirrel. Yeah, what? I don't even know, man.
Man, that's awesome. But, yeah, anyway, enough about that. But, yeah, seriously, to go to our point, guys, seriously, if you're struggling with this, get help. Find positivity in anything. You can beat this. There is nothing in this world that we can't adapt and overcome, but you have to be the change. And that's what we are designed. That's what we are built to. We outlasted the fucking dinosaurs. We outlasted the Ice Age.
Didn't they get hit by an asteroid?
You know what? Our caveman, us in our primordial forms, still, we survived through that.
We were big enough
the
to sneak
Ice Age.
We were big enough to sneak
You know, I'm making a point. Shut the hell up.
Big enough to sneak into caves when that was going on. And...
We overcome genocides, wars, you know, people survived through Auschwitz and all the Holocausts and all the Nazi-occupied Germany.
Built to last, baby.
You bet. We take a lick and we keep on ticking.
Exactly.
You know,
that's what I tell myself now. No,
you're going to be sitting in the back of your car.
those lickings, you know, they're starting to. Those comebacks are starting to.
Well, you mentioned George Foreman and his monumental comeback.
George motivates me to fight again.
You were really excited about this fight. Just what was it, last night?
Oh, the Chavez and Canelo.
Yeah,
I was, but you know, I didn't live up to the hype, man. And Berto, if you're listening, feel free to call him.
Yeah.
It didn't live up to the hype, man. I mean, it was basically just Chavez Jr. not doing anything, just taking a beating, and collecting like probably $2 million, stand there and be Canelo's punching bag. I mean, from round 1 to round 12.
Right.
I seen some of the judges had the scorecards like, I think like 120, 108. Which means he lost every round.
Holy crap.
He lost every round.
They beat him like he stole something.
And the bad part is I saw him eating a burger after the fight. They showed a post picture.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't look horrible.
You think maybe we're talking about addiction. You think he might have been on something? Or
no.
Just bad
I think he just – no, he was in shape. He slimmed up for it. He slimmed up for it. He came in shape. I think he just didn't Chavez Jr., you know, he's the son of the Mexican great Julio Cesar Chavez Sr., but I don't think he's – how am I going to say this? He's riding his dad's coattails.
Okay.
He's got a name. He's never had any amateur fights. He went straight pro and was already – his grandfather – or not grandfather, but his godfather was a guy who used to – who owned or ran the WBC.
Okay.
And that guy has passed on, but his son's taken over. His son's taken over since then. So it's still the same people. That's how he's getting all his fights. Is through the WBC, most of it. And I'm like, I just cannot agree with any of that.
Oh, we got a caller. This is a number I don't recognize. Let's hello, caller. You are live on the air with an AA meeting with Arlo and Adam. What's your name?
My name is Robert.
Robert, what's up, Berto?
What's going on, guys?
What's up, brother? How's your Sunday going? I said, how's your Sunday going?
Oh, it's pretty good, man. I just got home.
That's what's up. Did you go watch Guardians?
Yeah. I did. I freaking loved it, man. It was way better than part one.
I told you. Don't give no spoilers. Adam ain't seen it. He already cried to me once.
Oh, my gosh. I was.
Way better than part one.
I thought so too. So what did you think of that Chavez fight last night, besides disappointing?
That's just the one word that I can put it, man. It was disappointing. I mean, they did all this hype for Chavez, and he was like, it was too much hype for what the fight was.
Yep, what it lived up to.
You know?
So.
Yeah, it didn't. And... you know, Chavez had the advantage because he was the bigger guy. But he didn't capitalize. Man, you know what? Every single round, I kept yelling at the TV and saying, punch. Punch him. What are you doing? Punch him. He was barely even tapping him.
No, he did nothing. Literally nothing. All he did was, to me, he just went in there to draw a paycheck, hype a fight, so they could hype this Canelo versus Triple G fight.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, most definitely, man.
And they took a name like Chavez Jr., took it because he has a name regardless, even like I said, even if he's not as big as his father, he still has that legacy of the name that he carries with him. But they, like I said, they used him to hype a fight to draw in a huge Mexican-based crowd because, everyone knows the Chavez name. Everybody knows the Canelo name. And all boxing fans know are usually fans of Canelo, and they could get the huge Mexican following with Chavez, and try to air it like it's going to be something amazing, and Chavez just went in there just to draw a paycheck.
Mm-hmm. That's all it looked like, man. It didn't look like a fight. I mean, it was either it looked like an exhibition bout or a sparring session.
Yeah. A sparring session of a pro versus an amateur.
Yeah. And for this, yeah, and this whole thing of do you guys notice that Canelo is not sitting down after in between rounds? What is that saying, that he's got cardio? No, that's not because he's got the cardio or whatever. It's because Chavez ain't doing shit to him.
Yeah, Chavez ain't doing anything. He's not just that greatly conditioned. You know, the thing I notice about Canelo, and a lot of people get angry when I say this, I've never seen him change. Like, he's gotten a little better, but I haven't seen him, like, grow as a fighter, even since the Mayweather fight. He goes in there and makes does the same things over and over. He don't get any trickier. He don't get any I don't want to say flashier, but he don't get any, like, slicker. But nothing's changed. Every time I see him, he does the same thing. Yeah, I haven't seen him grow as a fighter.
Yeah, no. And when I went in, and when I saw him fight, what's his name? He knocked him out there in Houston.
Kirkland, James Kirkland.
Kirkland. Yeah, when I saw that fight, because I was there, covering that event. And he, the way, like you said, the way he was fighting against Kirkland is the same way and same style, same mindset, same strategy from that fight to whatever fights he's had before Chavez, and then on this fight.
Yep.
And but you know there was that size difference, but the reach wasn't that big of a difference though.
Nah, it's because he didn't use it. He just flicked them punches, yeah. Barely pattered them. When Chavez got some heavy hands. I mean, Chavez can bang, but he didn't use anything that he had. And I mean, I figured it was going to be a horrible, horrible mistake anyways, this fight was going to be, because like right when the training camp start, Chavez's trainer, Nacho Bearstein, was talking about leaving him because they got into it. Wow. So I'm like, that's already setting it up for disaster, because now this guy's probably quit caring about training. He's just going to draw a paycheck too. And that's what it looked like. I didn't think Chavez was going to have enough energy to do anything anyways, because he looked dried out and drained out.
His weight cut was, I don't know if it was like really that bad of a weight cut, but at the weigh-ins, I mean, he just looked really, he just looked bad. He didn't look like he was ready. And Canelo, I mean, he looked ready.
Well, see, I've always thought Canelo looked dried out when he fights at 154. Canelo looks like, to me, like Chavez does at 164. When Canelo's fighting junior middleweight, I always thought he looked really, really dried out. But then that's why I've been telling people for years he needs to be at 160. That's probably more of his natural weight. But he wouldn't ever go up to 160. Most exciting thing about this fight was the fact that they announced him and Triple G in September.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one's going to be good.
The only thing that irritates me, though, is to me it's still about 2 years too late. They didn't pull the Pacquiao versus Mayweather and make it 5 years too late. they made it about 2 years too late. Because to me, that's what I always told people, I said, he'll take the fight when he starts seeing the big slowdown in Triple G. And I've noticed the big slowdown in the last three fights with Triple G. And especially the last one when he fought, look it up, who'd he fight last time? I forgot the guy's name. But when his last pay-per-view, I was like, he just, only difference is Canelo's not going to be as slick of a boxer. I mean, Canelo's not a horrible boxer, but I mean, he's a flat-footed, walk right at you kind of guy. He's not going to be moving. He's not going to be grooving. He's just going to be flat-footed, walk you down, and let's see, you know, who's going to be the bigger banger. And if he tries to get in there and exchange with Triple G, well, G's got some heavy hands, and I want to see how he handles a real heavy-handed middleweight that's going to come up and bang with him.
Mm-hmm. And Triple G, I mean, even though he's slowing down a little bit, he still can move, man. And yeah, Canelo, all he does, like you said, is just like a bulldog. All he's doing is coming right at you. Boom, boom, boom. Just waiting for you to throw that shot so he can counter. Or put him against the ropes like Chavez tried to do. And it did, I mean, Chavez failed. But, you know, that's Canelo's style. It's just you come to me or I'm going to come to you and I'm going to try to, you know, hit you. But yep. Triple G is still one of those guys that can still move around. I mean,
yeah.
So Canelo's going to be chasing him down and trying to get that power shot. And just one wrong move, boom, Triple G's going to get him good.
And like we said, we haven't seen Canelo take a shot. He hasn't really been in there with the biggest punchers. James Kirkland was a big puncher, but James Kirkland was also a guy with a glass jaw. So Daniel Jacobs, who Triple G fought last, can bang, knocked out like his last like three or four opponents on like a 13-fight win streak or something. But and you know as well as I do, Berto, styles make fights. The last 2 to 3 fights that I can sit there and say I watched Triple G look like he was slowing down, he was fighting guys who were more boxers, who were movers.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
you and I both know that ain't going to be Canelo. Canelo's not going to go in there and try to be slick. Canelo's going to be basically right in front of him.
Yep. Yep. So he's going to be a freaking punching
by Roberto Villa. Villa, excuse me.
We ruined that name like
I did,
100 times. Roberto.
Roberto is joined by us on Fightbook from Fightbook MMA. He's got a Facebook page, facebook.com, Fightbook MMA, or just the website, fightbookmma.com. Sorry, Berto, I didn't mean to cut you off. I want to make sure to give you a good plug for contributing to the conversation.
But, yeah, like we said, the US styles make fights. And like I said, Canelo is going to be right in front of him. Canelo don't have a lot of great footwork. He's not going to be on his toes trying to fight like a boxer and look to slip and counter. He's going to look, like you said, be the bulldog, come walk him down. And Triple G ain't a man you come walking into, because you're going to walk into something hard and you're going to walk into something heavy.
Man, he's got such an impressive record.
And, I mean,
37-0. I mean,
early predictions. And I hate to put it this way so early. But if I'm gonna put it this way, if Triple G does not knock out Canelo, he won't win the fight.
Now that makes me want to see it anyway, because I've been kind of watching this guy. Because see, I don't really follow boxing a lot, but I first heard of him whenever he was trying to get Money Mayweather. Floyd Mayweather. Mm-hmm. But as we all know, Floyd's tied up with
Floyd ain't coming back.
You know, we haven't heard anything more. Berto, have you heard anything more? Is the when's the Conor McGregor, when's that fight supposed to happen? Are they getting anywhere on it?
Dana White said that because of the Canelo Triple G fight, it's going to get pushed.
Pushed back, like delayed,
delayed. It's going to get delayed.
It's because he don't want the cash cow to get in a boxing ring when he popped off. And
yeah,
I mean, like I heard, who was it? Somebody, Mike Tyson. And I love Mike. I love Mike to death.
Thanks, I appreciate that.
Mike Tyson, one of my all time favorite fighters. But Mike said, if you want to see it get interesting, put Floyd in a cage. Why would Floyd go in a cage? Floyd knows damn well he ain't going to do nothing in a cage.
Well, I mean, when it comes to boxing, you know, in his mind, he's the GOAT. I mean, he's undefeated, obviously.
Yeah,
so,
even if Floyd knows I am not getting in that cage to wrestle with Conor McGregor, Floyd wouldn't know what to do with it.
Well, he didn't ask for the fight.
Exactly.
Conor asked
for the fight. And then I'm like, Mike, did you not listen to any of this?
Right.
Because when Mike was saying that, I was like, Mike, the dude called Floyd out in boxing and started telling everybody he is boxing. Floyd didn't say, hey, man, I want to fight Conor McGregor. I am MMA. No. Floyd knows his own limitations.
Yeah, man, it's to me, it's just a joke. And then now it's even going to be delayed even more because his girlfriend just had their baby.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, Conor's going to be too busy being a dad now.
Mm-hmm.
So his training's not going to be there. He's going to be busy with the new with his baby boy. And it's, you know, it's just Dana and then this whole boxing deal is just a joke.
Arlo, what was that other fight you were talking about? I was thinking there was a second fight you were when we were here going over some of our notes.
I don't know. Man, you know, I got hit in the head a long time. It wasn't super important. I think the only two fights I was talking about was Canelo and Chavez. And this is why we on live air. I forget things, man. I got hit for a long time. I told you, man. I done told you Barry White like five times over 90.
Dude, that Lemieux fight was pretty good.
I didn't see that one, man. I didn't see that. But Lemieux puts on a fight. Lemieux's like an old school. He reminds me of those old school, like, early 1900 English fighters, you know. He got that slick hand style. He's real, like, you have to watch
the
video.
Put the two hands?
He's almost in that style. His style, like, his hands are really awkward. You know what I mean, Roberto? He looks more like one of those old school boxers that you would see. And, I mean, he only comes in and did Lemieux win?
Yeah. Yes, he won.
I figured he would. Lemieux got some heavy hands too.
Mm-hmm.
That's what irritated me. That's what irritated me when Triple G fought. Triple G annihilated Lemieux. But everybody sit there and said, "Oh, well, Lemieux's a bum." No, Lemieux is not a bum. You're a bum sitting on your couch calling him a bum.
Yeah.
That dude went in there and nothing. You know what I mean too, Berto. But it just irritates me when people are looking at someone, whether it's UFC, whether it's MMA, whether it's boxing. Whatever, and people were like, "Oh, that guy's a bum." No, okay, he trains his ass off and made it to the show. But
man, what'd you do?
Yeah, what'd you do? What'd you do? You went and worked 8 to 5 and came home. You went
in
and came home and opened some chips and telling me how he's a bum. or them dudes would be like, "He's fat. He come in the weight. He come to the fight fat." Whatever. You sit down all day. You fat.
Man, I still say this.
I tell you what else irritates me, man. I have people say that this will get to everybody. This will get to everybody. I get in arguments. You know, I fought for some years, so I know the grind. I know that part of it. And I, you know, when I talk, I really get emotional about it. Mm-hmm. I really get involved in it. But I have people sit there and they're like, "Well, trying to lecture me about how to do it." And I'm like, "Oh, cool." You know, and they talk like they've done it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Well, have you done it?" "Oh, well, no, but I've trained." "No, you worked out." "You didn't train. You worked out." "Because you ain't training for it. You're just working out, buddy. I'm not trying to disrespect you there." And that's the damn couch warriors just pissed me off.
Sound like me talking about people getting into debates online, the keyboard warriors.
Yeah, keyboard warriors is couch warriors, man. Yeah. Them dudes. Berto hears it all the time. I quit talking on the fight book MMA. People piss me off anymore.
I've seen some people get pretty heated.
Yeah.
Berto, do you ever have to moderate? Do you have to, like, go in there and kick anyone out and people
have,
get out of hand?
I have my guys that do that for me.
Good. Man, but, you got a whole crew. Look at
he
you.
He does.
That's awesome.
I help out with the boxing interview when I got time.
That's awesome.
I don't really do anything else but stir the shit pot when I get in there.
So, Berto, we started off the show talking about addictions. Do you have or seen any really strange addictions from, like, personally? Or you don't have to tell on yourself, but other than some of the people addicted to your page, that's just every day, every comment, every...
Everybody arguing on his page.
Well, I mean, because I run a website, and I mean, I don't feel like that's an addiction. It's just me getting the news out there. But, you know, it's work. So to me, I'm working. But, you know, there are some people in the group that are, like, on there. I mean, it's crazy because we'll post something, and, like, that same person is just commenting, "Oh, my God, blah, 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 blah." Or they'll start laughing or something. But it's always, like, 10 to 15 people that are just, like, on there all the time. So I don't know if they don't have a life, or they're just, you know, they have, like, their notifications on, or they're just, like, sitting there waiting. Come on, post something.
and we've heard him talk. He loves his pages. I mean, he's not knocking you guys. You guys stick around. You job security and stuff. But seriously, yeah.
I'll tell you what, Roberto, Five Book MMA is going to make it big, man. How long has this been around? Like 4 years, 5 years now?
Since 2013.
4 years?
That's awesome, man. Congratulations.
Yeah. It's gone to like, what, 30-something thousand followers on Facebook? Or 16? Was it 16,000?
16? Yeah, we 16. Just hit 16,000 followers, or, well, yeah, followers and likes on there. And then in our group, we're almost close to 5,000. You know, the Twitter is growing. We're almost hitting 5,000.
What's your Twitter handle there for that? What's your Fightbook Twitter?
It's Fightbook MMA.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
Yeah. But yeah, man, as far as addiction, you know, when for me, it was alcohol. Mm-hmm. After I graduated from high school, I left home and I lived in Las Cruces, and then I left home and went to move back here to Albuquerque. Mm-hmm. You know, I lived in my car for a good 2 months, trying to raise some money from work and to get me a little studio apartment. And mm-hmm. once I got that apartment, man, it was just every day after work, I would drink either a 6 or a 12 pack. Weekends, I'd get, you know, just freaking wasted with my friends. And, you know, I did that for a good year, man. And finally, I started seeing that a lot of my friends were leaving or not talking to me anymore because I was a dick when I was drunk.
Your real friends were. Yeah. You still had the party friends.
Yeah. I still had the party friends, but not the real friends. You know, they were leaving. And a lot of my cousins and uncles, they were trying, they want to be around me because they knew I wanted to drink and this and that. But one day I just woke up and I looked at myself and I was like, man, I need to stop.
Yep.
So I stopped cold turkey.
Congratulations.
I started jogging. That helped a lot. And I started having that love of running. So I started doing marathons, started doing golf. I started playing and picked that up and I got addicted to that. next thing you know, like I started, rewatching a lot of the fights because I remember, when I was growing up, you know, that's all I would watch is, because they were free on TV, so I would watch all the UFCs and, you know, boxing. Mm-hmm. And that's when I started to get into it. And, I mean, the running and the MMA, that really helped me quit my drinking. And I've been sober for 14 years now.
Wow. Congratulations, man. That's inspirational, man. That's amazing. So you haven't had a drop in those 14 years?
Did I do what now?
You haven't had a drop of alcohol? You haven't had a drink at all since?
Never. Nope.
That's awesome.
Adam's been sober about 14 hours.
True story. I did. I had three last night. Oh, man.
I didn't pay attention to that. We try to roll. We roll with the series at the beginning. We get with the
and then you had to take it.
I had to, man. We're about to by all this bug, man.
Well, once again, we are joined on the air with Berto from Fightbook MMA. Berto, it is always a pleasure to have you call in. You always bring such a wealth of knowledge, and your site and your group is very active. If anybody wants to catch updates, feeds, information, the gossip, or even if you just want to argue with some trolls, I'm sure you got a couple of Berto, we really do appreciate you calling in.
Thank you, man. I love your show, man.
Appreciate you, man.
We appreciate
the support. I need to start putting it on the Fightbook page. I always forget. Roberto messaged me, why don't you put it on the page? I was like, oh, I forget.
We'll give you a shout out. I promise.
You're on the Fightbook page too now, ain't you?
I am.
Yeah, so you can add it.
All right. We got you.
Yeah, just add the link, man. That's what they all are family. So just drop the link in there. Say, hey, do you want to listen to some two guys talking shit?
About everything.
Yeah.
It's about everything. You banging cars, I'm going to talk shit about you.
Oh man!
I'm gonna find that link of that guy that they caught doing a car in the muffler. I'm gonna share it to y'all. And y'all are gonna crack the hell up.
Yeah, that's one addiction I'm gonna laugh at. That's what I will laugh at. Be like, what's wrong with you? That's what I'll say to somebody. Normally, I give you a hug and say, get some help. I'm going to look at someone banging cars and be like, what in the fuck?
Don't like, you're going to watch. You're going to watch just to see, are you freaking serious? It's going to be a train wreck.
If it ain't my car, I might watch. If it's my car, you get bastards. Peeking in the bushes right before he finishes. Man, what the hell are you doing? He's getting a serious beat out of it. It's my 72 Charger. I'll be like, look, Junior, you about to be dead real quick.
Start it up.
Just let that hot exhaust.
Man,
back
I ain't
over.
Starting nothing. I'm busting up my head.
I guess I'm just a dick.
Now I'm going to be paranoid when the dog barks. Man, somebody out there banging my car.
Gave
me a whole new level to be scared of now, Berto.
All right. Well, yeah, we're starting to wind down. Once again, thanks, Berto.
You know they're going to get exhausted.
That is the best way to end an interview, man.
That's a catch line.
Oh, gosh.
Oh.
Thanks again, Berto. You have a good evening, man.
All right, man. You too. Goodbye.
Brother. You know, I can't even keep a straight face. Exhausted. That's awesome. That's a line of the day. But, you know, we talk about addiction, man. And, you know, there's also good addictions. There's things that are okay to be addicted to in life. You know, positivity, the gym, as long as you don't under it. I'm a firm believer in moderation in all things. Alcohol worked for me because I did it in moderation to this day.
But you don't abuse it.
Right. Abusing is when you can't stop. If you find yourself and you, whatever it is, it's impacting you and you quit and then you find you're craving it and you're craving, oh my God, I got to have it. I need a drink. Oh God, I need a drink. Or I need a hit. I need a cigarette. I need this. When you start feeling that need and that desire for it, that you have to have it, then you may have a problem. Please seek help. Don't be shy. Again, for tribal members, there's Jack Brown. If it's a youth, there's Cree Oaks, there's Cherokee Nation Behavioral Health. Every tribe has something.
You know,
and
whatever city you're in, you know,
right.
This stuff goes worldwide.
Right. And if it's something major like heroin or something, go to the hospital. They can give you something so you're not going to have to go the withdrawals as bad. They can keep you from going to shock, killing over. But, you know, all things in moderation, folks. It doesn't matter if it's alcohol, weed, gym, anything. A little bit of something never hurt anybody, but whenever you can't stop whatever it is, then you may have a problem. But, you know, we are winding down to the last minutes. So, Arlo, do you got some words to live by for us?
We talked a lot about serious life stuff today. We talked about addictions. We talked about people who are there with you during addictions, the good and the bad, good and the bad in there. What I'm trying to get at, and I'm really glad we did this, and you know, this episode, because the way I was thinking through this whole day, in my opinion, in life, what helps you out in life, what will get you through in life, is keep the people in your life who truly love you, who truly motivate you, who are truly there for you, who truly care about you, and who truly make you happy. And you know what I'm talking about. Everybody out there knows what I'm talking about. They know the ones they want to hang on to, but they don't. They don't do any of that. So think back to the people who don't do any of those things for you and let them go. And letting go may be hard, but in the end, it'll be for the best for you. So like we always do about this time, remember, keep living strong, keep training strong, and most importantly, keep loving strong. Till next week.